Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise your name. We thank you for James's life and for the work that you have done in his life, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we just pray for you to come upon him right now, that you would fill him with your spirit, Lord. May the words that he speak be your words that he puts forth, Lord, and nothing on his own, Lord. We trust in you and we give praise to you. Open up our hearts and our minds to receive your word today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. After we were here a couple weeks ago with my kids, after the service, said to William and Levi, I said, "So guys, what'd you think?" And William goes, my oldest, he goes, "Dad, I only knew half the songs." And he loves to sing, as some of you are here. He's not afraid to belt it out. And I don't have the heart to tell him to quiet down, because I think it's real pure coming from him. He's not trying to show off. He's not trying to be loud. He just has no vocal training. And that's okay. I think God's okay with that. And he doesn't get nervous when people get loud. But then Levi, my son Levi, he says, "Well, Dad, I got one word that sums it all up." Looking, all right. And he's a little brainiac. So he's going to come up with something. But sometimes it's real funny. And it was. He goes, "One word, Dad, long." All right. So we're going to get moving right along, because I don't want to be accused of being the guy. Oh, man. That's when Dave and I talked earlier this week. And he's like, "All right, so which one are you preaching?" And I said, "Well, just put Reverend Shear." And I've been called Reverend before in my life, and it's funny because I used to always just say, "Oh, you must be referring to my grandpa." And I thought it's real easy, right? Just say Reverend Shear, and that way people don't go, "Oh, man, it's the guy that preaches too long. He's up." Oh, no. So anyhow, we're going to have a little fun this morning, and the scripture that we're going to lean on. Is Romans 8:38 through 39. And it was Paul speaking here, and he says that, "I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor demons, nor principalities, nor any other creatures should be able to separate us from the love of God, which comes through Christ Jesus our Lord." I love that scripture. It's one that we should all obviously hang on to, because there's absolute truth in that. And Dave also asked me, he said, "Well, what's the title of the message?" And I don't know about you, but I'm not good at that. I mean, I've been preaching for almost 25 years, and most of those years I traveled and just preached. That's what I did. So when you ask to do communion, I'm thinking, man, that is my dad's wheelhouse. He ministers communion all the time. And where I was usually a guest speaker at churches and so on and so forth. And I thought, man, there's nothing that sums up a message like "Jesus is Lord." And he laughed. He said, "Well, that does about say it all, doesn't it?" And you know, we love the sovereignty of God. We love the love of God, which is, you know, Paul so graciously in his own life continued to always reference, whether he was saying he was the chief of sinners, you know, throwing himself right at the mercy seat of the people, throwing himself before the Lord in the same context. He believed in the forgiveness of God, in that the love of God, that there's nothing, no sin, no problem, no situation in life that could separate us from that. He spoke on his own behalf, but also on everybody's behalf. We obviously, John 3:16 is a scripture we reference, right? God so loved the world. He didn't predestine just a few that would come to know his love. He set a course initially for the whole world. And that wasn't just at the garden, when there are only two humans right away. So it's kind of easy just to love on those two. But you know, 4,000 years later, he sent his son to love the whole world, to have that same love displayed for the world to see, but also to encounter. And when we say Jesus is Lord, to most people, they, I think, would reference that Jesus is love. But if all we see is Jesus' love and there's nothing that can separate us from his love, we forget his sovereignty as Lord. Because God so loved the world. Jesus loves the world. I love my kids. Most spouses, some love their spouse, right? And some aren't sure. Some don't always like them, but they love them, right? But love is something that we can freely give. Love is something people understand. But lordship is something that people struggle with. The name of your church, Jesus is Lord. I love it. I understand it. But I also serve a loving Savior who I also know has to be Lord. And being Lord, he is full of grace, right? Which is where his love side comes. But he's also full of truth. You know, a Lord lords in the natural. A Lord is a ruler, right? So there are rules. There are things that have to be followed. And in order to fully encounter that love and have that love that's freely given applied to our life, we have to go to the step of recognizing him as our Lord. He has to be our Lord. In other words, he has to be in charge and not us. I was on a trip to the Bahamas suffering for Jesus when I was 15 years old. Anybody been on a mission trip? My dad said everybody should go. I don't feel that way. I've been on some really bad mission trips. I've been on enough that matter of fact, I went on one once in church about a year later. There was a whole new group of people. And this one guy was always like, you should go. And he talked me into going the year before. And like two of us almost died. Literally almost died. Had side effects for a couple years afterwards. And this new group was all like, hey, you know, this guy said we should go. And I said, you don't want to talk to me about it. This is not a challenge, okay? This is not, well, this would help you go further in your faith. Because for some of the people that went with our group, it actually rocked them for years. It took them a while to even, not just physically, but just recover from what happened on this mission trip. And it was rough. But at 15, I went on my first mission trip. We went to the Bahamas. We went to Eleuthera. We flew in private planes. We lobster dove. We had beach time every day. And I thought, this is about the pace of mission trip that works for me. And maybe I set the standard too high, you know, at 15. But we had a great time, which I think is needed on any mission trip. There needs to be a part of where you're able to breathe a little bit. Because some, especially third world cultures that we've been to, you're out of your element and on every level, and then spiritually and everything. There's, you know, you got to be ready, but you also got to be rested. You got to have time like that. It's a whole different talk. Talk to me if you really want to. We'll have coffee sometime. But this first one, paced it real well, and we went and showed the Jesus film in the Bahamas. So we'd go to all these little towns, and we were in the touristy areas, and we'd spend most of the day in a little town. We'd walk the streets, invite people out, and then in the evening we'd show the Jesus film and pray salvation with people and so on and so forth. So great time. We worked at some orphanages and some private schools where we helped build some buildings and do some work around there too. Great, felt filled to the level. Probably at 15 you could, and like I said, we also found a little time to go to the beach, do some snorkeling, catch some lobster and fish. And one of the days we were at this school, and my our leader, my pastor, said, James, I want you to give your testimony today. Now, at 15, I might have talked a lot, but I didn't do public speaking. The only public speaking I did was when I got in trouble in school and getting detention for talking out of turn in class or talking too much. But I didn't do public speaking. My dad preached, my grandpa preached. I wanted to be a preacher. But this was my first real opportunity being asked to do something, and I froze because I didn't have a testimony. I didn't have anything to share. I was raised in a godly home. I accepted Jesus, if you loosely use that term, but I gave my heart to the Lord. I don't know when. I grew up in it. I just remember always loving Jesus, always serving the Lord. My parents, preachers and evangelists, and I don't have a date. Sorry if you feel you have to have a date. We'll make it right now. The The Lord is my Savior. Jesus, come into my heart. There. Today I said that. You're all witnesses of it. But if you're looking for a date, I don't have a date because I always love the Lord. I'm sure at some time, knelt by the bed or at church, went forward for an altar call or something in kids' church. But I don't have a date. So I did have a story. And I got up there. This awkward, gangly, skinny, growing too tall, fast, super insecure. Now I'm standing in front of like 200 students in the Bahamas. A lot of differences. And I said, well, here's my story. 15, I was raised in the church. I love Jesus. And I couldn't think of anything else to say. And now we're on a mission trip. So, you know, everybody who's gone the days before me who was asked to give their testimony had amazing testimonies. You know, some story near death, sometime when they were brought to the Lord and, you know, somebody led them to Jesus, or they had, you know, they were in the hospital, or some great story. I didn't have it. And I was kind of mad at my youth pastor because I told him that. They said, no, God will give you the words to say. God didn't give me any words to say. And I went and sat down, and of course my friends were kind of laughing, and I'm kind of laughing, but like kind of going, oh man, that did not go over well. And I remember growing up hearing people share their testimony. And especially, you know, you go to conferences or youth conference as a teenager, and they bring in people specifically with a story. They don't bring in me. I got no story. They bring in the guy that was in a gang. He had killed people. Matter of fact, this one guy I remember ended up becoming kind of a co-minister with him for a little while later on. But when I first heard him, they put a picture of him up there, and he had like two AK-47s in his hands and had bullets on his chest and all these tattoos. And he was the guest speaker at this conference. And he shared, though, how he was the leader of a gang, and he had murdered people, and, you know. And you know what you do when you hear those stories? You sit there, you eat off every word, like you feed off everything they're saying. And it's beautiful because God uses that to then reach somebody who might relate to that story, or somebody who may have gone through the same thing. And so there's different things. Those never related to me because I had a comb over and a button up blue Oxford shirt when I was 15 years old. Wasn't in a gang. I didn't have a tattoo. You know, we didn't know any of that. But those stories were amazing. And a lot of times people share their story and they get up there and they're all animated. Oh man, I had it all. I was living large. I had fancy cars and beautiful homes all over. And I was making millions of dollars. And then I gave my life to Jesus. And I realized, oh man, none of that meant anything. And the problem was, especially as a young person, they sounded more excited about the former life, and then giving their life to Jesus was this slowdown. Like, and then I gave my life to the Lord. And just life has been great ever since. It's boring. Like, even the way they talked about it, like, I had this and that and this, and it was great and wonderful, but it just wasn't fulfilling. And you're like, yeah, a little more money would fulfill some things in my life. You know, hey, in a bigger house, that'd be cool. You know, and you start to hear their story, or their testimony, as we call it. But the truth is that your story can be different, but our testimony has to be the same. In true conversion, if we're going to reach people for the Lord, or let our light shine as Jesus has told us to, right, or let that love that we talk about, that Paul talked about, if we're going to let that love be seen, then it's the testimony part of our story that says Jesus is Lord. Not just Jesus loved me into this. He loved me into it, but his lordship is now why I share my story. And then we have stories different. We don't have time to hear everybody's story here, but our stories become different. And our stories then can be relatable, especially at times for certain circumstances. I was not supposed to live. So part of my, I guess I probably did have a little bit of a story. It would have been boring to this school in the Bahamas. But the testimony side of it, I believe in healing. I believe in miracles. I believe in the supernatural. I believe that we wrestle not against things on earth, but we war against the principalities. I believe all that. Part is what I've been through. Part of it is that I believe the word of God and what it says about those things. But then I walk with some of those where I don't necessarily always share those, but I walk in that. If we're sick in our house, we first pray for healing. We believe laying on of hands for healing. And some of that is just the churches I was raised in. Some of it was what's happened in my own life. And one of the worst things we can do is not continue to share our testimony. And sometimes we're maybe nervous to do that, or we don't share it enough. But when I say that, I mean your story attached to the fact that Jesus is Lord. And I believe that God calls us to do that. In Revelations chapter 12, verse 11, it says that we overcome. It's talking about the end times. It's talking about the serpent has come to deceive, and one of the antichrists is leading people astray. And it says, but they, talking about the righteous, talking about the saved, says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus is Lord, the power of his lordship, right? That only he can do that, and the word of their testimony. So it's a mandate that we speak our testimony. It can be any part of our story. I had a pastor that I served under for, 14, 15 years. And he'd always get up, and of course he was getting older in age. And so I started hearing this from him when I was probably 29, 30 years old. And then even when he moved out from that church about 4 or 5 years ago, he used to always say this. Well, once a year he'd get up there and he'd talk about his testimony, and he had a little different testimony than I did. He kind of had some college years where he went a little wild, and where in my college years I went into Bible college and was a pastor. So, a little different. But he would always say, all right, how many of you got a great testimony you want to share? And of course, people would raise their hand, or a kid would raise their hand. He goes, all right, this excludes anybody under 30. Because until you hit 30, trust me, you don't have too many stories that you didn't just create yourself. And he's talking about, you get after 30, sometimes you just have things happen in your life that you didn't ask for, you didn't plan for. You got, it wasn't part of the script. And so now you have more to your story. But I believe that our story continues. That every day there can be new things added to our story that aren't the big things, like the evangelists that speak, or like what I thought I had to share in the Bahamas that time, where you think, there's this one major thing, but there's probably hundreds in our lives. There's probably things that happen today or tomorrow that are still a unique story that can be attached to a testimony. In other words, that you can say, hey, the sovereignty of the fact that Jesus is the Lord applies today and gives us an opportunity to share that, so that not only do we overcome by the word of our testimony, but other people can come to know Jesus as Lord because of what he's done in your life. By sharing that story is a vital part of our walk. I know it's hard. We have a huge family. And for the most part, I'm sure, I think I have 27 sheer cousins, right? Most of them now are married and have 4 or 5 kids of their own. My sister's the overachiever. She has 11. No one's going to reach that number. But this morning, they're all in church somewhere. And most, at least my cousins and their spouses and a lot of their kids, are serving somewhere in a church. I had a grandma and grandpa who served the Lord. My grandma, both grandparents on my side, but grandma and grandpa Shear served the Lord. He was a great, great pastor, loving man. And he would share little stories. Even in my 20s, he would still, at a dinner table, share a little story which would captivate you. That's a neat story. That's a detailed story. And it always come back to the glory of God that got him through that. The truth is, we all have a testimony, even today. When you watch the news, things that happen, local, whatever, or foreign. We had a helicopter flying low over the farm the other day. And this might not fully relate to you, but in some countries, if there's a helicopter flying low towards you, there might all of a sudden be some low thuds and They might be aiming for your chickens, or they might not be. They might be aiming for you in a war-torn country. And so daily there's people, but my testimony is, you know what? I live in a great country that we're protected. I don't have to fear when a helicopter's flying over. But every day, you know, Amy Grant used to sing a song, and you sang Thy Word this morning, right? Is that what I'm saying? And she had angels watching over me, if you remember that. And I remember as a kid watching that video, and in it, there was like a car, you know, that swerved and ran a red light and almost hit some people. And she was just talking, but there's angels watching over me. Our testimony even today is that the sovereignty of God and the fact that he is the Lord, he's watching over us. We don't know what could happen or what might have happened or what plan the enemy had. But as we walk out this story, that power is protecting us. That power, the power of God is preserving us. It's healing us. We talked to some friends, old friends from our church in Florida when I was young. And they were going through their list of all the things like unhealthy in their life right now. And it wasn't just like one bad thing. There were like four major, major things. And, you know, not that old of a couple, and just both of them and their kids are just going through it. And you sit back after that and go, wow, wow, our stories are really different, but our testimony is the same, that Jesus is the great equalizer in everything, that Jesus is still the healer. Jesus is the one that when we just share a story, it doesn't have impact. But when we share his lordship and how he redeemed us or how he brought us through, or even if we don't have all the answers, that he was the one that got us through when other people maybe didn't make it through, that is the power that then will change their lives. I was mentioning our family, and I think one of the hardest things I've seen is, you know, sometimes you share the Lord with somebody you're close to, especially somebody you spend a lot of time with. You would think it'd be easier, but sometimes it's hard because you're always trying to pick the right moment or pick the right situation or think, well, man, if they go through what I've been through, then they'll fully understand, and then that'll give me the opportunity. I believe that when we say Jesus is Lord, that his lordship, that no enemy can stand against the power of what he has done. And when we share that, it's like the parable of the sower, that sometimes we sow seed and you don't know, is it just going to be rejected? Is it going to be swallowed up by the world or by whatever situation somebody else is going through? But I believe that we're just called to share that testimony. That's the spreading of the seed. Whether we're old or young, no matter what we've been through, no matter what's happened to us, no matter what we've gone through, Jesus is Lord, and people need to hear that. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 said, how will they hear without a preacher? And I know oftentimes we look to the person in the pulpit as the preacher, but God has called us all to be the salt, and he's called us all to be the light, right? We're supposed to bring some flavor, which is the salt part, right? And but we're to be the light. We're supposed to share the truth. And how do we do that? How do we do that in love? My testimony, like I said, was not, or my story, was not all that flashy as a 15-year-old. Probably still isn't all that flashy. Not a ton of stuff to talk about. But my testimony part is the same as the flashiest, most captivating story out there, because it's the equalizer. It doesn't make one person greater than the other, one person's salvation any greater than the other. It makes all salvation the greatest thing that can happen to mankind, because we've all sinned and come short of that glory. But his lordship leads us into salvation. Says that the Spirit draws us to salvation, but then God guides us into all truth. When I was born, my lungs collapsed. And this is a little bit of that testimony. And doctors didn't think I was going to live. And so they had to transfer me down to a it was in Wisconsin, so we had a little hospital. They transferred me to the University Hospital in Madison. And when they transferred me there, somehow I slipped through the records, and so they didn't feed me. And when they finally realized it, so it was the second time my parents got a call. The first time was when I was first born, my lungs collapsed, and they came in and said, your son's not going to make it, and his lungs have collapsed, and we're rushing him down to Madison. The next part was a few days later. They're praying for me. They got the church praying, prayer group praying, and then they get the call that he's got a strep infection, he's malnourished. And kind of funny, I don't think they'd admit it today, but back then they said somehow he slipped through the records, and so he just didn't get the feedings he was supposed to. I think outcomes would have been a little different today in the medical field, but they also paid all the bills, so we never got a bill from the hospital either. So I think that was a plus, you know, skip a meal, you know, and they skip a few meals. But anyhow, they once again said I was going to die. And once again, they just prayed and fasted, and I'm still here today. And the doctors came to mom and dad to say, hey, you know, we don't know what's happened. He's starting to stabilize, but we got to tell you, with what he's gone through in the last 7 days, number one, he'll never, it was too much trauma, and he will be stunted in his growth. True story, he'll be stunted in his growth. And dad and mom always laugh and go, man, I think we prayed too hard. Yeah, we just prayed too hard, because obviously that God had other plans. But our stories are fun, and then I can go on from there. I can go on to feeling the call of God on my life, which once again wouldn't have been interesting to probably a school of 200 students in the Bahamas. But in the church realm, it was interesting. We couldn't go. They were pastors, obviously, and we traveled, but we couldn't go to a conference. We couldn't go to a church where somebody would chase us down in the parking lot and say, we saw your family, we'd be visiting or whatever, and go, we feel God has a word for your family. God has a word for your children. And I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but I mean, there was strange coincidence all growing up, and it was just kind of the way we were raised, but we just believed it. We saw it, we believed it, we knew God had a plan, we knew that there was nothing that could keep us from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord, but that also he was our Lord. That because of that love, it demanded us to acknowledge him in his lordship, to learn his ways, to learn his truth, and then to speak it with our story. The best way to be able to share the testimony of what God can do in a life is to share our story with others. Whether it's our grandkids, my two kids are always around, but when my sister comes with her 11, or my other sister with her 3, in growing up, my grandpa did this too. It was the opportunity to not maybe have a boring conversation, or as Levi would say, long conversation that you felt was about somehow something you were going through as a teenager that grandpa was going to try to relate to. We would just have meals, and he would always pray. And when you were in grandpa's house, that was part of the testimony. He believed that we should pray before a meal. And you know what you don't do at grandpa's house? Ignore his wishes, because you still have enough respect for grandpa or for grandma. And then growing up, they do a devotion. So you didn't leave the dinner table. And so when we were there, you did a devotion. And even when it was boring, or we were young and we just wanted to go play on vacation, not sit there, you understood the depth of their testimony. And their testimony was, as a young couple in ministry, they were after church one Sunday in the first weekend of October, Grand Haven, Michigan, going and looking at the colors along the lakeshore, and somebody ran a stop sign. What was this, 1948? Ran a stop sign and hit their car and killed my Uncle Tommy, who was 2 years old at the time, My great aunt, who was in the car, she was what, like 20 years old, and my grandma, Grandpa Shear, weren't supposed to live. They were in full body casts for 6 months. And in 6 months, my grandma had broken 13 bones, 13 fractures of her pelvis. They said, you will never have children. So they had the one that still had Sandy. And Grandma, Grandpa came to at about a month later, came out of a coma. They're full body cast, didn't know they had lost a son, didn't know they had lost an aunt. And they're now told they'll never have children again and that they're not even stable. Well, they went on to be married for almost 60 years, lived well into their 80s, ministered at probably 8 different churches he was a pastor at, and went on to have 6 more children after they got out of their full body casts. Matter of fact, the story goes that it was about 9 months to the day after they got out of their full body casts. So that's the family story. But those stories resounded. When I had cousins of some of the 27 go off and go to, you know, liberal universities and hear doctrines, obviously not just saying there is no God, but actually trying to defy the things of God, they could never come home and not hear the testimony, hear the stories, hear the testimony, and watch that testimony play out and continue on. And it impacted that whole generation, and now is having an impact even on the next generation. So as we close the day, let me encourage you, share your stories. But I always bring them back to Jesus is Lord. It's not just a neat story. There's sovereign protection that was there in that story, or there was healing, or there was a guidance or direction. The fact that we're all still here. And my dad says himself, thank God that I live in America. You know, we're all still here. We didn't ask to be born here, but there's some places that you should be thankful you weren't born. Because you'd still be there right now under bondage or oppression. But we're born in a country that God's saying, go. You can be the light. You can speak the word. You can speak your testimony. And it will change lives. It'll change situations. It'll change the child that's wandering or the grandchild that's searching. Those stories, that word, the Bible says, will not return void because it's attached to the power of Jesus is Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our story and how, and every, if we really want to look, God, you have been there even when we don't see it. And your protection and provision and your healing power in our lives, and just all that you have brought us through, the fact we're still here today means that you still have a plan for us, and you still have our lives that you want us to live to the fullest and have life more abundantly. And Lord, so I speak a blessing over this congregation today, Lord, that you bless us as we go from this place. Lord, as we wake up, as we lay our head to rest, Lord, as we eat, as we talk, as we fellowship, no matter what we do, Lord, we pray that whatever we put our hands to, that it would prosper and you would just bless us this week in Jesus' name. Amen.